Good evening, everybody. Got to tell you a couple things real quick. My father-in-law, Rebecca's dad, has been with us several times and visits when he can on occasion. And he always just talks so highly of you. And I keep telling him, you just don't know him well enough, Warren. And no, he always speaks so highly of you. And here's the comment that he made today. And Rebecca, correct me if I say it wrong. He said, it just seems like every time I come, I can see growth in the presence of the Spirit, is what he said. And what I take from that is there has been an increasing amount of realness, genuineness, not just doing church. And I see that, and I want to commend you for the growth. I mean, well, absolutely, God gets the glory. But He also invites us to participate with Him in the fellowship of the Spirit. And so, just thank you guys. Tonight I'm going to do something that's different, and I did not even bring my Bible up here, which is a rarity. I mean, I don't know if I've ever preached, not used the Bible. Okay? What I've got for you tonight is it's not really preaching. We're just going to kind of go back and kind of give a very brief overview of some of the lineage of the Old Testament and how some of these people were connected to each other. And I've been wanting to do this for some time, and the reason is this, is because when we read about these we preach about them from the pulpit, these names are just names. There's a guy named Jacob. He came upon the scene. Well, Jacob came from somewhere. And I want to kind of walk through, again, this is not an in-depth study, just a very brief kind of overview that might help some of us connect some of the dots, okay? And what I hope to show and what I hope for us to see is that it appears that from somebody give me a call. From Adam and Eve, it's Shepherd ISD telling me there's no school tomorrow. That from Adam and Eve, there is a distinct line of God's blessing and His providence and through a line, and you can see it come through here. And I'll walk us through that just briefly here in a moment. But when it gets to Abraham, it spreads out. And then we see the line of blessings continuing through multiple lines from Abraham down. And I want to talk about that for a few moments. When we go back and let's go back all the way to Adam and Eve. Y'all know who Adam and Eve were? Okay. Well, Adam and Eve, they had kids. What were their famous kids they had? Cain and Abel, and they had a family feud. Right? And they had Cain and Abel. Now, Cain killed Abel. Adam and Eve had another son. When you go back through Cain and Abel, Abel didn't really have descendants because he died. Cain is really not mentioned much about him and his descendants. But when Seth came along, which is another one of their sons, that's where the line gets connected. Seth had, and there's a whole bunch of names on my little chart that I have here. It gets all the way down to Noah. Okay? And I have this really cool Bible timeline on my wall in my office. And I can go back and I can kind of look. And what's so cool is when Noah, well, I don't know the fact here. I may misspeak. But it's quite possible that Adam was still almost had either still around or had just died when Noah kind of came on the scene. And so there's a lot of generations between there, but not a lot of distance from Noah. Noah came along the scene from descended from Seth. He had some kids, Ham, Japheth, and then he had Shem, a guy named Shem, S-H-E-M. Great baby name, by the way, if you're interested. Shem had a line that comes down through him. We get to this guy named Terah, and Terah had some kids named Haran, Nahor, and this guy named Abram. Abram, who we find out later is God changes his name to Abraham. Abraham. And that is kind of where I'm starting really kind of our thing tonight. Abraham. Go ahead and put that. I kind of built this in my office this afternoon. Abraham, y'all remember God told him, he said, I got a promise for you. Here's a plan. You're going to be the father of what? Many, many nations. True prophecy. He and his wife, Sarai, it was Sarai at the time, they were trying, and they didn't have fertility doctors yet, and so it just wasn't working out for them. And so Sarai said, here's what you need to do, Abraham, because God made the promise to you, so take my handmaiden, my servant girl, Hagar, sweet Hagar, take her, and maybe God wants to bless you through her. It'll still be your son. And so he did that, and she gave birth to this guy named Ishmael. Ishmael. Then Sarah got jealous. She and Hagar didn't get along so good anymore. And she said, you need to send her away. And not long after that, or a while after that actually, Sarah gave birth to a guy named Isaac, a boy named Isaac. Now this boy was the fulfillment of the He was the first step of the fulfillment of the promise. Okay, God's going to bless you, Abraham. You'll be the father of many nations. Now, before we dive into what Isaac is and all that, there's something about this guy right here that needs to be mentioned. Anybody know who Ishmael is? Anybody have a clue? Yeah, I hear some people going, Who's Ishmael? He's pretty much the kind of the father of the origination or the descendants were the Islam religion, faith, whatever you want to call that, came from. Okay, and so they all trace their they all say we're all from the same lineage because we all go back to Abraham. Well, the truth is they do. They come up through Hagar's side through Ishmael, back to Abraham, and we claim the Christians claim the Jewish heritage comes through Sarah and Isaac, and Jacob and all on down through there. So this is kind of the there was a feud here, right, between God's people. And basically the beginning of the Muslims, okay, the Islam. So this feud that's going on has been going on since way back to here, and Sarah and Abraham, they have Isaac. Isaac gets married to this girl, his beautiful bride named Rebecca. I think all, and they have these two boys. Okay, she gives birth to twins. Y'all remember this? She gives birth to twins. Jacob and Esau. One of them came out first. Who was the firstborn? Esau was the firstborn. How did Jacob come out of the womb? He was clutching his heel. Clutching him. Like, get back in here. I'm going to be first. Kind of thing. So he comes out. And so now there's a feud within the line. And Jacob and Esau, they had their struggles. And they kind of divide and split camps for a while. Esau became the father of the Edomites. Now, I'm going to mention several ites to you tonight, okay? Edomites. The Ishmaelites became the Muslim, Islam. Esau, his kid, he was red, and they're called actually, Edom means red people. They were his descendants. They became the Edomites. Jacob, God gave him a different name. He changed his name. Okay, Jacob became Israel. Israel. Now, Jacob, if you remember right, Jacob had to, he really fell in love with this girl, Rachel. He wanted to marry her. So he went to his uncle. Is that right? Went to his uncle Laban and said, I want to marry your daughter. I want to marry my cousin. And he said, well, you're going to have to work 7 years to get her. He said, I will, because she's worth it. He worked 7 years. On the wedding night, they went to the chamber, and he opens up his eyes the next morning, and it's not Rachel that he married. He married the other daughter named Leah. Now, the Bible gives a brief description about Leah. Basically, it says she had a good personality. Rachel was beautiful, and Leah had a good personality. And we kind of understand what that means. You know, Rachel was easy on the eyes, and Leah maybe not so much. But nonetheless, he goes back to Laban, to Uncle Laban, and says, now, wait a minute, you tricked me. I wanted to marry Rachel. He said, I know. And so if you want to marry her, you're going to have to work another 7 years. He said, I will do it because she's worth it. Now, this time, he goes ahead and gives her to him, lets him marry her, but he promises to work for 7 years. Well, he starts having these babies with these two wives. And now, Israel, bless Jacob, bless his heart, he also had there were some handmaidens or some other women that came in that he was not married to that he had babies with too. So we have these 12. With Leah, he had Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. With a handmaiden Zilpah, he had Gad and Asher. With a handmaiden Bilhah, he had Naphtali and Dan. And then with Rachel, the love of his life, he had Joseph and Benjamin. Later on, in this, where they're at, there's a famine in the land, right? A famine in the land. And Jacob, Israel, sends his sons, said, you need to go find food. And they go to Egypt. They find the food. Well, remember who's the love of his life? Rachel. And he says, therefore, these two boys born to Rachel, they're kind of like the apple of his eye. And he really liked Joseph. And he told Joseph, or Joseph had a dream one day, that he was going to be the ruler. And he went blabbing it to his brothers. And his dad kind of treated him as a favor because he had a special coat. Y'all remember all this? See how these stories, these Bible stories, are kind of being connected a little bit? Well, he had this special coat, and his brothers, they thought, you know what, this is enough. I'm sick of hearing about Joseph. Sick of hearing about Joseph. He's the favorite. He's got a vision that he's going to be ruler over us and all that. I said, we just kill him. And they said, well, you know, I agree with you, but Dad, you know, it'd break his heart. We can't just kill him. Let's sell him off. So they sell him off. And he goes into slavery. Ends up over in Egypt in this guy named Potiphar's house. And one thing after another, he ends up in prison. Ends up getting out because the king had heard that he could tell dreams, and the king had this dream. So he said, here's what you need to do. Y'all remember this? He said, you need to build these silos. You can have 7 years of great produce. Store it all up because there's going to be 7 years of famine. We're going to need all that. And he was made chief of command, right below the Pharaoh, the whole land. Joseph, remember what his dream was? He was going to be the ruler. People were going to bow down to him. And that's the truth. His brothers, Jacob said, y'all need to go find food. So they go to Egypt where there's food stored up. And they run into, unbeknownst to them, they run into brother Joseph. And Joseph decides to be a little mean with them and play some tricks on them, right? Anyway, all that to say this. There's a single line throughout all of this, these trees. And it breaks here and it comes down. And then it moves over to this person and falls down all the way down. Then when you get to Abraham, you get to this part here where through Leah, he has this son named Judah. What do we know of Judah? Do we know anybody that came from the line of Judah? Jesus, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Anybody else come from Judah? Anybody before Jesus? David, King David. And so you see that God blessed, right here, he blessed this line with David and all the lineage, which both Mary and Joseph were from, and all the way down to Jesus through King David, with Levi. Anybody want to guess who what Levi has to claim to his name? He was the priestly people. Anybody in particular come to mind? Moses, Aaron, and the sister Miriam. Yeah, so we have where we see beforehand a single line of blessing. Now we get to Jacob where he says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And now we have blessings coming off for Judah, for Levi. And then over here with Joseph, I think it was so cool. I'm going to go into a little bit of geography here real quick. Abraham was in the land of Ur. Y'all know where the land of Ur is? It's basically right now where Iraq, okay? That's kind of where he's from. That was where he was. He says, you need to go to a land I'm going to show you. He said, where is it? He didn't say that. He said, okay. He didn't know where it was. He ended up going to Israel. He showed him that land. And a lot of scholars believe that when God told Abram to take Isaac up on the mountain and prepare the sacrifice, and he took him up there and was ready to slay him as a sacrifice because God told him to be willing to offer him up. And God said, stop, hold on, here's a ram, do the ram. A lot of scholars believe that was actually on Mount Calvary, that mountain was Mount Calvary, where later we have Jesus being crucified and slain. But so they moved from Iraq to Israel. And then he has all these sons, these grandsons, that's way up here, Abraham, Isaac. He has Jacob and Esau. And then down here, all these other sons, they end up going to Egypt and were over there for 400 years, right? And then Joseph comes out with them under Moses' leadership. Moses passes the mantle on to Joseph, and Joseph takes them where? Takes them right back down to the place where God sent Abraham. Same place. It's the promised land. It's been promised for a long, long time. And so I thought that was really cool when I saw that. One of the other things is from, and I know this is really fast, but from Terah, Abraham had some siblings born from different women, but there's a guy named Haran who gave birth to a guy named Lot. From Lot, I mean, we have Abraham and Lot, they're kind of work together. But Lot, from his tribe, from his line, becomes the Moabites and the Ammonites. Through another one of his siblings comes the Midianites. So you have all these other ites, right? When Joseph takes the people back into the promised land, who's there? those people, the Ammonites, the Midianites, the Edomites, the Moabites. I think one time I called somebody the Cellulites. They were all there. They were all there. And so as we kind of look through this, we see God's great design, His great plan in all of this. How long did it take for God to bring all this to fruition, even through Abraham and all the way down here to Joseph, taking him back to the place where Abraham, where He promised Abraham, where He took Abraham? I mean, we're talking about hundreds of years, right? Guess what? To God, He's outside of time, so it didn't take like time for Him. He's just like, remember I gave you an illustration where God steps out of time. He just steps into time over here, and then He'll step in up over here, and He'll step in over here. He just pops in and out. We can't really fathom that. God's blessing. Now, some stuff gets weird. Okay, Isaac married Rebekah. Abraham actually married his sister, half-sister. Isaac married Rebekah, who was, Jacob married Rebekah, who is his cousin, his mother's brother's daughter. Both Rachel and Leah. And so you see some things kind of get mixed up back in there, but all through it, God had a plan. And I know that this was not a real in-depth. I know that a lot of you are just probably looking real confused. But the reason I wanted to do this tonight is I wanted to show you that God is always at work. God has always got a plan. And He always has a continual thread running through all of history. All of history. And you know who He used to carry that thread? People like you and me. People like you and me. Sometimes the people worse than people like you and me. Okay? He used, if you go back through the lineage of Christ and take that back, you find some people in there that kind of make you go, Rahab the prostitute is listed. Did y'all know that? Do what? Good lady. That's right. And here's the deal. God uses people like you and me. And if we want to be able to look one day and say, you know what? Here's how God has moved through my life. Here's how God has been working. And it may not be, there may not be a connect, what may not seem to be a connection from the generation prior to you or generation right before you. But it's our duty to make sure there's a connection to the generation right underneath us. That's kind of where we were this morning. It is our responsibility to teach and train up. These as you went down through all this this history, who wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? Anybody know? Moses. Moses wasn't there. Moses wasn't there when Adam and Eve were created. Was he? He wasn't there when Noah built the ark. He wasn't there when all these things happened. So how did he know about them? The Holy Spirit, yes, but there's also they passed it down. They told the story. They said, man, here's our connection to the past. And here's how we're connected. And we're part of that. Did you know that if you go back over to Israel today and you sit down with a Jewish person, and you said, can you trace back your ancestry, your lineage, they'll probably pull out documentation and show you how they go all the way back to Abraham. They keep that, it's that important. It's that important. Are there some things that are worth saving, worth preserving in our lives? Are there some things that are worth passing on to the next generation? Absolutely. And you know what? God works all the way through that. this was probably more for just my benefit because I needed to be able to kind of connect the dots to see how so-and-so was related to so-and-so. I was really interested about the geographical thing, how they kind of took him out of Iraq, went to Israel. They went from Israel to Egypt, and God brought him right back to Israel because Israel is the promised land. And how he brought all that to be, and how when we got down to Abraham, it was a single line of blessing. He would jump over here to this kid and his kids and over here and come down. When we got to Abraham, it just disperses. And you see how God used all these sons of Israel to be the blessing and the fulfillment of the prophecy. Do you have any idea that God may want to bless you? Do you think God may want to have something fulfilled in your life or in the life of your kids or grandkids or something like that? And it's important that we take that and we pass that on. That information, I was telling this morning that, you know, it's one thing if I stand up here and tell you some information, some stuff, some stories of my life. But for your kids, your grandkids, your nephews, nieces, whoever that is, it's much more of a they're connected. They're connected to you. So your stories mean a lot more to them. I've had a bad time here of late, health wise, and I was unable to bathe my dad, so Rebecca called Zachary to come over and give Dad his shower, and he did. And then, so Zachary also, he came over, and he went in and sat down with my dad, with his grandfather, and he just sat there and just asked him questions about when he was a kid. Asked him questions about his work and what he did with his work. And Dad just loved to tell those stories. Well, it means something to Zachary because there's a connection. It means something to him because he can say, my grandfather told me one time, and he can tell that story, and there's a connection there. There are stories in your lives that somebody can connect with. Okay? Now, ideally, we need to pass those to our kids, but guess what? Sometimes it's not a generational or a bloodline thing. Sometimes it's a friend. Sometimes it's a person in need. I was speaking with somebody earlier and had gone through a very traumatic experience. And somebody else who had been through a similar experience was able to tell their story. And they made that connection. So it's not always just our kids. We need to be able to be ready to share our story. What is our story called? It's our testimony. It's our testimony. And the testimony is something that's uniquely yours. It's uniquely yours. I love Grayson this morning. I had called Misty earlier and said, can I have Grayson do a special thing for me on Sunday? She said, I'm sure he will, but you know, what do you want? And I kind of told her. But I let Grayson, I said, here's kind of what I want. Let him put it in his own words. And he did. I saw him early this morning. I said, you ready? What you got? Tell me. Let's go over what you're going to say. And he went through exactly what he said up here on the stage. That's a testimony. I invited Jesus into my heart and I got baptized. And if you haven't done that, you need to do that today. Something very simple like that. The boy is giving testimony. Okay? It's our job to tell our story. Especially with people we have a connection to. Because it matters. The history is one thing. It's important. But the richness of it is how we see God involved all the way from the top, all the way down through the bottom. And he's also connected you. I mean, you came to Christ. If you're a Christian, you came to Christ somehow. Right? You know how? I do. Because he drew you to himself. He drew you. He didn't draw Vicky the same way he draw Rose, the same way he draw Warren, or Jeff, or Daniel, or me. It was different. And so those are important to be able to tell. I want us to be able to, in somewhere down the road, just get ready, okay? Somewhere down the road, I'm going to devote some time, quite a bit of time, to you being able to share your story. Okay? It's because it's important. It's important that you are able and know what your story is so that you can share it, because it matters. Your story is being written for somebody to read, for somebody to listen to. It matters. So I don't know if this helped anybody tonight. Probably not as fast as I went through it. But again, maybe it was just an exercise for me so I could connect some of the dots. I'm going to continue studying this because I really want to get a better handle on how all that stuff came together. But I wanted to just kind of share that with you a little bit tonight. What I would like to do is next time, I want to come forward to Christ, Jesus, and go back and see how he's connected all the way back through Judah, back through there, and that lineage is given to us in Scripture. And so, that was really disjointed tonight. Disjointed, I know it. But thank you for suffering through it with me. But as we get ready to close tonight, I do have a couple things I want to bring to your mind and to your attention. Zachary has not been with us today. He is laid up with a kidney stone. He had this issue, came over to the doctor this week. I brought him over here to see our doctor. And she took a sample and said, yes, you've got an issue. You've probably got a kidney stone. There's a CAT scan order. If it gets worse, go get a CAT scan. Well, that night, was it that night? The next morning. Next morning he called and said, it looks like it's getting worse. I said, were you in discomfort? He said, not really. I said, well, we need to, if what you're seeing is what you're seeing, let's go to the emergency room. So I met him and Leandra at the emergency room, and they did a CAT scan, said, yep, you got a kidney stone. You got several kidney stones, actually. But the one that's giving you pain is on the left side anyway, all that. Said it's whatever size it was. Gave him some meds, and he left. We left, and he was like, well, you know, whatever. It's not really bothering me any. Maybe it'll just work itself out. I said, well, let's go get the meds anyway. We went to the pharmacy, got the meds, and said, just in case. Well, started getting a little discomfort. This morning, he was in bad shape. Rebecca called Leandra, and she could hear Zachary in the background, and he was not a happy camper. And so we were able to get him some more meds. So keep Zachary in your prayers. I'm hoping that maybe he was able to pass that today, and he's a little bit better this evening. So pray for old Zachary, if you would. Several of you have asked. Here's just an update. I had my CAT scan done last week. Tomorrow I go to have a nerve conductivity test. I don't even really know what that is. Having that done tomorrow, and then I'll go back to my neurosurgeon and find out. We'll put a plan together and see what happens from there. But I will tell you this. I have been feeling a whole lot better. I did have a bad headache yesterday, but I've been having a lot less and less headaches, less severe headaches. Getting more movement back in my neck. And so our prayer is that when we get to the doctor, he's going to look at the CAT scan and say, that MRI must have been a misprint or something, because this ain't you. That's our prayer, and we're going to keep praying for that. I know that there are others. Haskell has a very dear, longtime friend that has had a brain aneurysm, a blood vessel burst in the brain, and she's in a bad way right now. But the Lord is taking care of her, and she's down there with the doctor. So just Carla and Robert is their name. Just lift them up. Are there others? Because I want to spend just a few moments in closing in prayer tonight. Anybody else? Donna, okay, Ricky. this young man that you were. Okay, in case y'all didn't know, Josh, not our Josh, but a different Josh. Vicky's been kind of sharing with him, ministering with him, and the Lord's working and moving in his life, and he's becoming more receptive. And so, continue to pray that that'll. Okay. Okay. Gary has a co-worker named Quan that's had surgery, and he's not made it back to work yet, and so just ask for a recovery for him. Beyond that, I want to just continue. Randall, thank you. Okay, Randall, Uncle Randall's having cancer treatments, and so there are a lot of people that need jobs and whatnot, and so let's just pray for one another. But I also want to say that we need to, you know, that sometimes when you're in the middle of a situation, you don't really get a really good perspective. Has that ever happened to anybody else? It's not until you step back or time takes you down the road that you can look back and go, oh, I get it. Sometimes it takes a different perspective. And what I want to do is just bring to your attention that from outside perspectives other than us, the things that are happening and going on here at Dolan Baptist Church are some things to be thankful and praise God for. There is evidence of God working and moving within our body of believers. And we need to give God the glory and the praise for that. And ask that God would continue to grow that. We're seeing the move of the Spirit from little ones all the way up to Linda Lawson baptized this morning. You know, so there's no age limit or one way or the other. God is working and moving. And sometimes we just need to pause and recognize His movement and give Him praise. Mm-hmm. So if you would just bow with me and let me close this out in prayer tonight. Lord, we do lots of things were mentioned tonight for matters of concern for prayer. And so, Lord, we just pray for those items, those people, those situations. We just lift them up to You, Father, and we say this. Lord, it's all Yours anyway. So have Your will. Have Your way. May You find us faithful to express our concern and care and love for these people. May You use us where You see fit. May You find us willing to be used. And Father, may Your will be done. And may we be honored that we can participate in. Lord, what a tremendous blessing it is to be able to say, I was there, I was part of that. I got to see God move. I got to see the miraculous, because that's part of our story. That's part of what we need to be telling to other people. And Lord, I pray that You would just continue to bless us here as You find us faithful. And Lord, I pray that even right now, even this evening, You would prepare us, these people, to be ready to tell their story. And Lord, should You tarry Your coming long enough down the road, I'm going to be asking these people to share their story, their testimony. And so, Father, I pray that You would just put that on their mind right now and let them really spend some time contemplating, thinking about, and putting it together. Lord, the truth is sometimes we don't really connect the dots within our own life, much less ancient Hebrew history. So, Father, help us to connect those dots and to see Your movement all throughout our life, and how You've drawn us, how You've wooed us, how You've saved us, and now what You're doing through us. That's our prayer in Jesus' name.